so glad to be here. We've been looking forward to being able to come and join with you for your missions conference. I've always thought that is the most special week of the year for any church, is to have this special mission conference, talk about missions and world evangelism, and just an encouraging time for a church family as well. I remember the first time I ever visited the church here was when y'all, a few years ago, when you had one of those Christmas parades or whatever you call it, not the parade, but the
journey.
It was a college word and I couldn't think of it, but that Christmas journey was fantastic, and it just made me want to get saved again. I mean, it was exciting to see that and to have the story of Christmas just brought to life like it was in going through that journey. But that was a special time and enjoyed it so much. Now, this morning, I was been praying about what to preach. So I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Acts chapter 1, one of the classic texts when it comes to missions and world evangelism that you're familiar with, and I won't be sharing anything new. But tonight, I'm going to be preaching about money. Amen. Hold the amens back, if you would, please, on that. But I wanted to tell you that up front, because if you're not here tonight, you know what all of us are going to think about you? That you were just so tight, you just scared to death to hear another sermon about money. But for the sake of our visitors, I'm saving it for tonight. But I hope you will come back tonight, share some things about faith promise as well. Although I know every Sunday I run into it, any church I ever go to, so many people decide to stay home at night because they're used to dialing in to Ed Sullivan, having to watch him every Sunday night. But you ought to give him up tonight. If you don't know who he is, it's because of your youth and ignorance of not knowing who he is or who he was anyhow. But anyhow, I hope you can come back tonight. My wife and I, last time I was here, my wife was not able to come, but I'm glad she could be here as well. And then two special people in our lives as well, Sam and Susan Aylstock. Hold your hands up for a moment. They are wonderful, God-fearing people, some of my favorite people on earth. Used to be in our ministry, our staff in Fairfax, and now they're up in Valley Forge Baptist Temple, a wonderful church there where Kayla originated from, I think, or came from that direction. But so thankful for their ministry there and serving the Lord. We had, when I was pastoring, I had seven youth directors. And hands down, Brother Aylstock was our first one, set the example for everybody else. And he has always been the one that I would look to think, this is how you do it. And this is how you work with young people. He had that. We had all seven of our youth directors went into church planning and later. But we're thankful for the precedence that Brother Aylstock set there as well. Well, in concluding this service this morning, since it's 11:03, I'm going to share some thoughts out of the book of Acts chapter 1 as well. Acts chapter 1. And reading in verse 8, if you'd look there, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Father in heaven, I pray you would bless in these moments together now. And Lord, challenge us, I pray, anew and afresh from the Word of God. And Lord, may we not take for granted what is going to be happening this week as we pray for a working of your Spirit in our midst. Blessed now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We might say, why another missions conference? I mean, after all, y'all have them every year, and you probably have other missionaries come in during the year. A lot of emphasis that is there. But what about mission? Why do we emphasize it? Well, the reason is we've heard sung and you've heard preached so many times from this pulpit is that there's a world out here of about 7.5 billion people who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's up to you and to me to carry the gospel and the good news to this lost and dying world. And how thrilling it is, by the way, that you're in a church, for those of you that are visiting, you're in a church where they still care about lost souls here locally and around the world and trying to reach more people for Christ. But we think God had a plan set up. Today, there's an awful lot of different things that are happening, a different organization, a lot of wonderful parachurch organizations that are out there. But there's one thing that God set up in the Holy Bible for us to be able to follow and get a burden for, and that is local church planting. Some people say, well, church planting is one thing in the States, and then we do missions overseas. May I just kind of remind you, missions overseas and church planting in the States are exactly the same thing. We're starting churches for the Lord. Why? Because that's God's ordained way in the Bible to reach more people for himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, well, what about the Great Commission? I read something just recently that from one of these Barna surveys that only 20% of people in our churches today could properly define the Great Commission. And I'm sure you can because you're in the right kind of a church. But let me just remind us, and I'm going to underscore some things that you already know to be true as we think about missions and world evangelism and trying to reach the world for Christ. But a lot of people have never really defined what that mission is and what we're trying to do and what you're trying to do and accomplish here this week as well. And I think a lot of churches never just develop the heart for missions and world evangelism, just not having a passion that they need to carry out the Great Commission. A lot of churches have the attitude, you know, we for and we want no more. We're just fine with what we have. But I think most churches get over the mind that this, you can have a mission conference and just have in missionaries that have come that are going out to start church and plant church and forget that that's why we are here. As we heard the pastor say earlier, that's why you exist, is to be able to reach more people for Christ. You say, well, it's not just me, but it's a church. And you're right, it is a church. But it starts with you. It starts with your burden and your concern and your interest and trying to knock on doors and reach one more person for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My guess is that 95%, and it's a guess, that probably 95% of churches have never started a church out of their church. I mean, other than a church split, but I mean, starting on serious, on purpose, starting a church out of their, you know, I remember from when I started our church, there was a church down the street, about 5 miles down the street from us on the same road. And there was a good fundamental independent Baptist church. And it wasn't about 2 or 3 years later. And there was a new church started on the other side of us on the same road. And they called themselves Fellowship Baptist Church. And that was a split off of the other Baptist church. And I thought, Fellowship Baptist, you couldn't even get along with the people that you were there with. And then you, so I always get really scared when I see the name Fellowship Baptist Church up there, because I know what those people are thinking. But I think church planting, and by the way, church planting that we do here, wanting to start more churches for the Lord, as I said, is exactly what they do on the foreign field. Amen. Brother Kenny said something this morning that you may not have picked up or caught on. He said it twice, as a matter of fact. But it's the first time I've really heard a missionary say it from a pulpit, and I've been a Christian for over 50 years. But he was talking about the churches that they started there in Chile. And then from that church, a fellow called into ministry, working a church. And now that fellow feels called to go to another country and start a church. I want to let you inform you on something. I've been to a lot of countries and visited a lot of them. I've known hundreds of missionaries. But very few missionaries ever get the burden to be able to carry out the Great Commission and start churches out of their country. It's one thing to go and start it in your own country. A lot of them think, I'm going to that country and bless God, we're going to plant 1,000 churches. And that's fine if you can get a few churches started. But I remind you, no matter where the church is, they have the same exact Great Commission that we do. Say, yeah, but we've got all the money. No, God has all the money. And God's the one that calls, and God's the one that leads, and God's the one that should work in our hearts to carry out that Great Commission. But church planting is at the heart of the Great Commission. And I want to share some thoughts with you about that very quickly this morning. The Great Commission is carrying out world evangelism, church planting on this globe, on planet Earth, doing the best that we can to reach everyone that we can with the gospel. Now look with me just to kind of a better understanding perhaps of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And you've heard it, as I said before, but just to underscore it. But to keep in mind, the Great Commission was really given to the local church. The church has a responsibility. But notice what he says in verse 8. Ye, the church, shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus is sharing something here, and he starts out and he says, but ye shall receive power. He is contrasting this. If you back up just a verse here in your Bible, look in verse 7, where he said that he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in our own power. Here, these disciples are together and they are saying, Lord, when are you going to set up this kingdom? We've heard a lot about the kingdom. When are you going to set it up? We're ready to be kings and princes and queens with you. When are you going to set up the kingdom? And he is saying to them, look, it's not for you to know. I'll take care of that business, basically saying. It's not for you to know, but I'm going to tell you what you do need to know and understand. It's not for you to be concerned about when God sets up his eternal kingdom or his earthly kingdom, the millennial kingdom. That's not for you to know. He said, but here's the thing. You're here on planet Earth right now. There's a job for you to do, and I want you to evangelize this world while there's still opportunity for everyone. Notice that the Bible tells us when he says all power or authority is given unto you, both in heaven and in earth. And I think the Lord, as he has given that to us in Matthew 28:18, did he realize that all of us as a local church, we develop our authority that comes directly from God. God sets it up to carry it out. And it's only the church that has the authority to carry out the Great Commission. And the only way God has set this up to get it done is through church planting. Here's the thing. I can go out and win one soul to Jesus Christ. That is wonderful, and praise God for it. You can win that one. You can win some. Praise the Lord. And that's what God wants all of us to do. But when the church can send someone to go to Chile or Argentina or Mexico or any place else, when we can send some, then they go and then they start a church. And then another church can come out of that and more people get saved. So you go from addition to multiplication. And that's the exciting thing. So that's the time and the privilege we have of getting one church started, and then that goes and starts another one, and then that can go start another one, and then that can go and start another one. That's what God wants. It's the multiplication thing, because God is concerned about reaching the world for himself. So he tells us, the local church having that Great Commission. By the way, we've got all the people, we've got the resources, we have everything we need to reach this world for the Lord Jesus Christ and doing all that we can. So he said, but you're going to receive the power. So we get the power. And it's not that we give up, but a lot of churches are seen to be quite anemic as though they need that heavenly IV to kind of get them going again. And we all need that power from God. Nothing can get done for eternity done through ourselves. If anything gets done for eternity, it has to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's God doing his work, not us. So he gives us the power. It's God's anointing. It's dying to myself. It's letting the Lord do what he wants to do. And notice he said, not only the power, but after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So that's all the people. That's everyone being a witness at all times. The problem is sometimes we think, well, we can let someone else do it, or I get too scared. I'm a little nervous about knocking on a door and talking to someone about the Lord, because after all, I mean, they might be scary. Trust me, they are scary. But anyhow, we're still to go and reach everyone we can. And by the way, if I were to look at this and say the word power that's in the Bible and or the word people here, the power and then the people, and I look at this, but ye shall receive, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The word witness, if I said the word witness in the Greek language in which it was written, here's what the word sounds like in Greek. Martyr. That's the word translated witness. Ye shall be martyrs. And it's the same place we get our English word, martyr. So in other words, it's not necessarily easy. God never promised us an easy road. But he said, just keep on going. Because Jesus is coming back again one of these days soon. So we've got the power. We've got the people. But notice the philosophy as well. Hold your finger here and look over in the book of Matthew chapter 28. The other classic passage in Matthew chapter 28 that's always looked at in a mission conference as well. But in our text, when I was reading in Acts 1:8, where he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then he says, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part. That's the philosophy there. In other words, it's not just my little town. It's everywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the both. Notice back in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, where he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So God says, go everywhere. If I were to ask you, what is the one command of the verses I just read? The fact, I think they're the same verses printed in our bulletin. But if I would ask, what is the one command there in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? And don't say it out loud. But if you were to say that, look at that, there's one command in there. And the one command in there is to make disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that teaching all nations, that's the one command. That's the one verb that is there, if I could. That's the one thing he said. Now, it's kind of like, as you are going, that's the idea there, then make disciples. I mean, we're to do everything we can. Teach them. It's different than the word teach later. It is making the disciples out of people, reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ while we can. So I want to do everything I can to see souls get saved. Bring them a saving knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And my goodness, aren't you glad to be saved for those of us that are saved? It's the most wonderful thing in the world. So that's our job, to go and tell them. We get them saved. In Matthew 28, we see them get saved, and then you see them get baptized, and that's when they become part of the church. And then after that, they're to go tell the world as well. I heard a story one time about this lady who was doing her dishes there at the sink in the kitchen, and she had a window right in front of the sink, and she was there washing the dishes, and the window was open, and she saw her little son Johnny out there playing with their three kittens. And they had three kittens, and he set the three kittens up on three different fence posts, and he was preaching to them. And so he's preaching his heart out and telling them about the gospel and how to go to heaven, and I mean, not knowing that it doesn't work for kittens, maybe for dogs, but not kittens. But it doesn't work for anybody outside of good people, you know. So he's up preaching, so she's just rejoicing that she has a spiritual son like that. She goes about doing her rest of her housework, and next thing she knows, she hears this hissing and this meowing going on, and she comes back and looks out the window and says, Johnny! He was baptizing them in a tub of water. Said, Johnny, what are you doing? Kittens don't like water. And he said, well, Mom, they should have thought about that before they joined my church. But anyhow, that's part of the Great Commission we have. We win people to Jesus Christ, see them get saved. And then look, if you get saved, you don't mind declaring Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't mind taking a public stand for the Lord. You don't mind that identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't mind identifying with a good local church like Volusia Baptist Church. You don't mind that kind of thing. You want to do whatever God wants you to do. And that's the pro. And so then we do that, the program of the philosophy there, reaching everybody, and then the program there, as back in our Acts chapter 1, he says the Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And the Jerusalem, our area, the Judea, the surrounding areas, the Samaria, I've always thought of that as the unwanted people, that we want to reach everyone with the gospel, not just a select few. We don't just target some group of people. It's everyone. As someone has said, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. We tell everyone we can about the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what we can do. That includes all Hispanics and Asians and Arabs and blacks and deaf and handicapped, anybody. We want to do anyone to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that we have people that can care about souls and living for the Lord Jesus Christ and being able to serve him as well. And folks, you never know who you talk to. That might be the next church planter that goes out. It just so happens I have written in my sermon notes that I've preached a sermon before, but the first name I have written right out of there is Pastor Scott Wendell. And although his staff member is here this morning, it's part of my notes, I just wanted you to know that. But I remember when Brother Wendell came to our church, was a teenager, and got saved and baptized, went off, got called, went off to Bible college, came back and served as an internship for a few years, and then went up to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and started a church up there. And Brother Elstock and I and some other staff members we had, we went up to work with him as well to help him get started that first week. And to be able to just see what God has done up there with that church. And by the way, that happened because somebody on one of our bus routes we had, one of the bus drivers took a stack of tracks and put them we parked the bus at a gas station, and he asked the owner, could I leave a stack of tracks here? And the owner said, yes, he was a Christian man. He said, yes, you can. He left a stack of tracks. A man came in and picked up one of the tracks and said, I'm going to take my family there on Sunday. And it was Scott's stepdad that took them there to church. And then he got saved, and they started church. And that's the largest church that we've had. Last I heard, it was around 1,100 every Sunday. But I think that was the largest. They're just getting ready to celebrate their 35th anniversary as a church in July. But I think, praise the Lord for the work that God's done. And so many other churches like that that we could tell you about. But seeking to and by the way, diversity is a good thing in a church. It's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to have people of every ethnic group around in our area to be able to bring them in as well. But I also just noticed, if you would, quickly, and now I'm going to take you on a quick journey. I shouldn't use that word in this church, I forgot. But I'm a quick going through the Bible on some verses here that have helped me to understand. You say, well, how do you know? I mean, what's the big deal about church planting and getting more churches started? Well, how do we know that? I mean, after all, the Bible shares other things. Let me show you where you get, because inherent within the Great Commission is not just to win, not just to baptize, and not just to disciple. It is to keep that going, and God has a program for it, and that's the local church. Say, well, that's just your opinion. It's not our opinion. But notice again, very quickly, look in the book of Acts chapter 8 for a moment. In the book of Acts, after God told them there in Acts chapter 1, y'all get going. They didn't get going. So he just kind of set a fire under them and got them going out, which he did. And by the way, God has a way of getting all of us to move about his will and do things he wants done. So he did that. So he set a fire to them, and they all went everywhere except the apostles. They all went everywhere preaching the gospel. But notice, if you would, I want to show you something. Look in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And then notice what he says in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And notice in verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritan. Look in verse 35. In verse 35, where it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Chapter 9, and look in verse 20 in chapter 9. And straightway, he's talking about the Apostle Paul now, the man who, he said, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. And then notice in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Then notice, if you would, in verse 31, my last verse I want to show you. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Here's the thing I want to say. You say, well, that was all about preaching. These guys were out there preaching the gospel. And so, hey, we pay preachers. They go out and they just preach. But I want to show you something. In the Bible, when you come to verse 31 of chapter 9 of Acts, notice something very important with me, where he said, then had the churches rest. That's the first time in the Bible the word church was in the plural, more than one meaning. So he had the church at Jerusalem, and that was the one church. Well, then the Bible said they went everywhere preaching. But it wasn't just preaching on a soapbox. It wasn't just preaching on the hill, although they had Mars Hill, but it still results in all the preaching was concerned about starting more church, reaching people for Christ, seeing them get saved, train them, get them baptized, teach and train them, disciple them, and then hopefully God will call some of them into the ministry and send them out to start more churches. That's God's program. That's God's plan. That's what missions is all about. They say, well, but what about all the other good things that are out there to do? I say, what about them? I'm just saying, if you want biblical authority, and what we do, and I know the church does here, and I know Pastor Myers cares about those things as well, but as Brother Myers has said, look at this, you think, hey, we want to do everything we can to see people get saved and start more churches out there. That's missions. That's world evangelism. That's, say, well, what about the television ministry? What about the radio broadcast? And say, what about them? Sure, you can reach people that way. But if you want a God-ordained way of carrying out the Great Commission, it comes through church planting, churches, preaching the word, and pray that God will see more people get saved as well. And by the way, as we look at the scriptures and see how the Lord was working and all the people that were getting saved and the churches getting started, we realize this is what missions is all about. This is what, when we look at these flags that are here, you think, wow, all those flags represent millions and millions of people in each of those flags, and we want to do everything we can to reach everyone we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, after this church getting started, the church was started Antioch, and then that church went out. They sent Barnabas and Paul out, and they started churches in Lystra and Iconium and Derbe, and then Philippi, and then Thessalonica, and all these churches got started in the rest of the book of Acts. And I think that's the heart of the Great Commission is one thing. It's local church. So I want to get people saved. I want to see them get baptized, bring them into the church here to get them baptized, and then to be able to send them after they get baptized, send them out, knocking on doors, talking to people about Jesus Christ, doing what we can to reach a lost and dying world for the Lord. And folks, if you want to get over just kind of being a ho-hum Christian, get involved. Get involved and help out. Talk to Brother Lyle and say, hey, I want to get going. Give me some more visits. I want to go out and talk to people about the Lord. Or let them train you. They can do it. I mean, can you remember some of us that have been out soul winning, they go out soul winning? Do you remember what it was like the first time you went out? I do. I remember what it was like the 100th time I went out and the 1,000th time I went out. It's scary. You say, well, and that's why Paul, I always take comfort in Paul in Ephesians 6, where he said, hey, when he talks about all the armor put on, and he said, now look, do me a favor as well. Would you pray for me, you guys? Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I mean, the Apostle Paul said that. So you're in good company if it bothers you. You get a little nervous about it, or handing out a tract, or knocking on the door. You're in good company. But it's obedience that God wants from me. It's not success as to how many souls that got saved from my knocking on doors. It's, are you faithful? Are you staying with it? Are you at it as you ought to be? The heart of the Great Commission, church planting. And of course, I know that's the heart of this church as well. And thank the Lord for Volusia County Baptist Church for reaching more souls for Christ and for the prayer that we can get some of these people called, as already been said, into the ministry and be able to send them out as well. But all of our churches have that responsibility. And church planting is simply not an option with God. It's our responsibility to help carry out the Great Commission and do what we can. Now, notice back in our original text there in Acts 1, and I'm finished. In Acts chapter 1, where he said there after the time when the Lord was taken up and the angels came and said, hey, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? He said, because you're looking and gazing up unto heaven. He said, the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I remind us all, Jesus is coming again. And it could be today. We don't know when. So here's the thing. In closing, I remind us again. Maybe you are saved, and I've been preaching to saved people, church members here. Maybe you are on your way to heaven. Maybe you've been a part of the missions program here. Are you doing your best? Are you giving your best? Are you yielded your best to the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you a part of the soul winning program, witnessing evangelism here at the church? Are you part of it? Can they count on you? Can you take some of those visiting cards and help do what you can to reach somebody else for the Lord? Are you part of it? And if not, I'm too old. You're not too old. You may be too lazy, but you're not too old. And I said that lovingly. I hope you heard that. But hey, we're not, I mean, come on. All of us can be involved in it. And we can do more for the Lord if we just care. I turned 75 here a few months ago. And I was out knocking on the door about a month ago and talked to a guy, just going door to door and talked to a fellow, a young man, and who right there on his front porch, he bowed his head and prayed and asked God to save his soul. I'm just saying, they're out there, folks. It's up to us to care, to knock on doors, to talk to people about the Lord, to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's coming back again. So the thing is, for Christian people, I want to get involved. Count on me. But if you've never been born again into God's family, may I say, you're missing out on the greatest gift that's ever been offered to anyone and to everyone. And that's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It's yours. It's free. I received the gift when I was 21 years old. And I think, thank God that Jesus saves. He'll forgive you. You say, oh, he can't forgive me. I've done too much. No, you haven't. That's what he shed his blood for, was the too much of your life. He shed his blood to forgive us of our sins. He died on our behalf. He was buried. But guess what? He's not there anymore. He came up out of the grave and he's alive today. You tell me, of all the other cults and missions out there, Christianity is separate from all the cults. It showed me one other group that has a resurrected Savior. They're all dead. But not Jesus. He's alive today, and he simply says, look, come on unto me. You've been laboring. You're burdened down. You've got heartaches. You've got struggles. You've got difficulties. Christian or unsaved, come to me, Jesus said. And if you've never been born again, and you'd like to have your sins forgiven, and you'd like to know that heaven is mine, then Jesus offers the opportunity to come to him even now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for caring about each one of us. And Lord, I thank you so much for making it clear in the scriptures what you have in mind for missions and world evangelism and what you have in mind for each of us to do. And Lord, I pray you'll help us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to just give of ourselves as members of the church here. It'll say, count me in. I want to do what I can to reach more lost people for our Savior.